Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, two.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. That is right, another Rookie Fever Player Profile. And I am here this week with the one and only, he's a delight, it's Dwight. Dwight Peebles at Peebles Champ. I was on a show with you recently. We did a player profile on Hassan Haskins over at Daily Draft Report, which you do at Campus to Canton. You do a lot over there, some rankings, some writing, and as well as some editing still at Dynasty Nerds, am I correct?
Yep. Yeah, I do a little bit of editing over there. Used to do more of the film room type stuff, but I feel like I haven't had time for that lately. I don't know. I watch so much film, but it's hard to take that couple hours it takes to cut a game film and cut it down. So, yeah. It's just a busy time of year, man. It's spring. Everything's, you know, popping outside and, you know, we're all getting ready for the draft. So it's been kind of chaotic lately, it feels like. But
yeah, it's a busy time of year for anybody that does anything Devy related. So anybody that hasn't, do go to that Campus Canton feed that I'm referring to. It has so much on it, but as well as, like I mentioned, the Daily Draft Report, which you're hosting and bringing on different people to talk about different players on there as well. Awesome shows, quick to the point, bringing on lots of great people. Definitely check those out. So today we're here to talk about Matt Corral. First of all, I want to know what made you pick Matt Corral other than the limited options that were left available to you.
I was surprised he was still left. He's still my quarterback one. So I know everybody's on this Malik Willis QB1 train and I'm close. I mean, Malik Willis has vaulted from 4 to 2 in my rankings through this offseason process, mainly because nobody else has done anything. You know, he's been kind of, I think it's helped his stock more than anything, the fact that Corral hasn't done anything. Howell has been, yeah. Pickett's been, yeah. You know, it's definitely helped him. So I was kind of surprised to see Corral still there. So I definitely love talking about Corral. I'm on board. Let's go.
And he had a decent combine, a decent pro day. He didn't hurt himself, should we say.
Right. Right, so. Yeah. That's just it. He hasn't done anything to hurt himself, but he hasn't done anything really to help himself either. So, yeah.
What does he do well that you feel will translate to the NFL?
All right. Now, there's a lot of his strengths that I love. I think he's got one of the best arms in the class. He's obviously not going to compete with Malik Willis. He's not going to throw the ball 70 yards in the air, but he's got a great arm that can get to all levels of the field. He has a really fast release. He throws really well on the run. He moves really well also. And then when he's on the run, he has the ability to keep his eyes downfield and make those quick strikes. He works the middle of the field better than anybody in this class, I believe. And it's part of that Ole Miss offense that, you know, often got guys open down the middle of the field. So I loved watching the way he works the middle of the field. He just throws it on a rope. He gets it right where it needs to be. He cleaned up a lot of things this year that he had problems with in the past. He cut down on the interceptions. Most of that was decision making. He cut back on a little bit of his gunslinging mentality, you know, which I still love. That's one of my favorite things to see in a quarterback. So, but he cut it back a little bit and made a little bit better choices. This year against Alabama, I think everybody wanted to see him make a step forward. And while he didn't make a huge step forward, he showed how mature he's got. He wasn't trying to make plays when they weren't there. It ultimately cost them. They lost the game, but at least he didn't throw 6 interceptions, which is what he would have done in 2020, probably.
Sure. Now let's stay here for a moment, because you mentioned the interceptions and how those went down. But there was a little, like, his completion percentage was actually better in 2020 than it was. And as well as his average distance per completion.
Right.
Is that what? Do you see a reason for that happening? Were there missing pieces, or what changed that made those go down a little bit? But the interceptions, like you said, in his efficiency was a little bit better.
Well, it's the same exact reason. He's taking better care of the ball. He wasn't pushing it downfield as much for no reason, you know? So obviously his ADOT's going to go down a little bit. Or I don't think it's called ADOT and by quarterbacks, is it? I don't know. I'm not good with all those metrics, but so that did go down his efficiency. It did go down a little bit because he was making better decisions. He threw the ball away more. I don't think he ever threw the ball away in 2020, you know, or in 2019. So it was good to see him do that when he needed to.
Yeah.
His receivers also were just a hot mess. I mean, they were terrible. Like he lost several of his receivers at several points. He was throwing to guys who probably should be working at Radio Shack if Radio Shack even was around anymore. So go a little old reference there. Best Buy, there you go. These guys will probably be in Best Buy in a couple years, and those were his top receivers. So he did what he could with what he had, you know. So he wasn't pushing the ball to the outer bounds as much. He did work the field, the center more, the middle of the field a lot more, and he was more careful. You know, he wasn't pushing it as far, wasn't taking the huge slings downfield for no apparent reason that often led to interceptions. So
it's a huge time of year for our mocks as we try to figure out where these players are landing in the NFL. It seems like I see a huge discrepancy. I don't want to say huge, but from the fantasy mocks and landing spots to what I would from the NFL. And a lot of teams, like in the NFL, you see them falling, all the quarterbacks sometimes falling out of the first round, which seems tough to believe, to be honest with you. And then in the fantasy world, it seems like you'll have three or four mocked in the first round. What kind of draft capital do you see going into Matt Corral, and what's an ideal landing spot for him?
I think he's going in the first round. I mean, I think him and Willis are the only locks of the first round. Like, I want to say that that's written in stone, but maybe it's not. You know, I think it would be silly if he made it. No, I mean, I think Pickett, Howell, Strong could all go in the first round, but I think Corral and Willis are the only ones for sure. I think with the traction that Pickett's got, he's probably also pretty close to a lock, but it kind of seems, you know, like maybe everybody doesn't share that opinion, you know? So I'm not very high on Pickett. I think he's going to be an average NFL quarterback at best. So I just don't see it. I think when I was talking to Thor the other day, he compared him to Andy Dalton as far as as high as he could get. And I actually like that. I think that's probably it.
Yeah. And sometimes that's not that bad when you hear that. It's like that. No, sometimes what you need is like Kirk Cousins.
Right, but that's Pickett. So we're not talking about Pickett. We're talking about Corral. Mm-hmm. So I think his upside is, you know, I like the fact that he rushed for over 500 yards this year. He did have 11 touchdowns, but I think that's not going to be something he does a lot of in the NFL because he's 6'2", 190 pounds. You know, he's not going to be able to take that beating like he did in college. And even in college, I mean, he was limping around at the end of the year. And the reason he missed all of this draft process was because he was hurt. You know, because he was just taking an absolute beating. So I like, you see him a lot going 6 to the Panthers, 18 to the Saints, 20 to the Steelers. You know, those are teams that everybody thinks need a quarterback. So I think I like him in Carolina, but I can't see them going him at 6. I think if Willis is on the board, he's the first one gone, I believe. And I don't know if he'll still be there at 6, though. So
I've seen him mocked at 32 to Detroit.
Yep, that would be an all right spot because he could sit for a year behind Goff. And I really would like to see him sit and not thrust into the role because the offense they run at Ole Miss is a lot different than an NFL offense. You know, it's the quick reads, the, you know, things like that that, you know, I think a lot of the NFL is going toward. But I'm sorry, the Lions are not exactly a innovative offense, to say the least. So, but I think they could change. They need to change, you know. And Corral's a guy that can move around and can get open and stuff. I think if the Steelers don't get Willis, I think the Steelers would be a great spot. I can see him really making their whole offense just so much better. And the Saints as well. I mean, they would also be another good spot, you know, that he could sit behind. They did re-sign Winston the other day, didn't they? Yeah, I believe they did. So that would be a good place for him to sit behind as well. So any of those spots are good. I think Detroit's one of my least favorite. And I could
just
also
as far as a team fit type situation for what his skill set is in the NFL.
I think so. And I think Carolina with, you know, they could, you know, with Matt Rhule still there and everything, they could want to move that offense ahead, you know, to the next generation. But I think he'll also be thrust into the starting spot if he goes there. Which I guess with that offense may not be a terrible idea, but I'd still like to see him wait. You know, like I'd like to have him learn a little bit. But he'd be fun. I mean, he'd raise the value of DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. Sure. And, I mean, it'd be a fun offense all of a sudden. Maybe Matt Rhule does want to push it forward to the next generation, you know, instead of the standstill quarterbacks they've had. So I think that would be probably the optimal spot, but I'm also not sure if they'll go him at six. That seems...
You mentioned the idea of a comp of Andy Dalton. I mentioned maybe a Kirk Cousins. Do you feel like that's more of his ceiling or his floor?
No, that was for Pickett.
For Pickett, excuse me.
I suck at comps. I honestly can't see. I honestly have no comp for Corral. Like,
I think comps are sometimes tough too. We want to have them, but really all of these players are their own individuals.
I'm trying to think of a quarterback that has decent running upside and a pretty good arm, you know, that could. I'm trying to think here. Gosh, who's a guy?
Russell Wilson?
Maybe. And Russell Wilson's almost the same size height-wise. Obviously, Russell Wilson's got a little more weight, but I can see him playing very similar to Russell Wilson. Sorry about that. That's, I think, probably a decent count for his ceiling, you know, as someone who can give you 400 rushing yards, 7-8 touchdowns on the ground, but still push the ball downfield. So I just worry a little bit about him taking off in the NFL and just getting murdered and getting, I called him the other day. I don't want to see him get Robert Griffin. And that's, I think that's a realistic possibility. He's got that frame. He's not going to be able to put on a whole lot more weight. I don't think he's a wiry little guy. So he's going to have to be careful to not run too much in the NFL. So he'll have to pick and choose. And he didn't just, that wasn't his first instinct in college. He often would, you know, take what was given to him and then run if he needed to. Although there was that game against Tennessee where he rushed for like 200 something yards. It felt like every time he dropped back, he was taking off. But his wide receivers were atrocious in that game. And it's what he had to do to survive. So I still think he's my quarterback one, just because I feel like he's a little bit safer than Willis. But the upside of Willis is enormous. And if you put me on the clock at 101 and said, take a quarterback, I'm taking Willis because of his upside. But if I can grab Corral at 105 or 106, I'm just as freaking happy. So I still love Corral a lot.
Okay. That's good to hear. What do you feel like his floor would be then? Or what is the chance of ultimate failure with some of these quarterbacks in this class?
It's scary because I feel like that's what we say about this being a down class is I think the floor for all of them is pretty damn low. Like, I think Corral has got, you know, there is that capability. He's out of the league in 3 years, you know, that he is, you know, that he tries to run too much and gets throttled or he's not able to pick up the game, you know, because Lane Kiffin's offense is much different than most anything in the NFL. So I want to say he's got a safer floor. And he still can be pretty successful. But I think as a floor of something that would be safe, I'm trying to give it up. Once again, we're back into that comp thing. I'm trying to think of another quarterback that's decent running, but has kind of floated around the league for a little while. Man.
Baker Mayfield. Has he not been in the league long enough?
No.
Is he out of the league too quick?
I feel like he's got a better arm than Baker and makes better decisions than Baker. Shoot. Thor the other day on mine compared him to the low floor comp of Will Greer. Or maybe he was thinking about, no, that might have been for Howell. I struggle with comps. I told you I suck at them. But I can see him being a guy that maybe just, you know, never really starts much. You know, he throws he throws a bunch of picks and it just kind of never really makes it too much in the league. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think he's going to be around for a while. But I do wonder if he'll ever be that top tier quarterback, you know, that maybe he'll just be a guy.
Right.
We said Wilson as a ceiling, but I don't know if he has that ceiling for production.
Yeah.
Although we've seen Wilson go up, down, up, down, up, down, you know, like week one, you know, he's quarterback one week, then 15 next week, 20 the next week, four the
excellent
next,
point.
You know.
Some people don't want to hear that, but that's very
true.
Corral.
Yeah, that could be a guy who has those great games where he throws amazing and rushes for two touchdowns. And he'll have games where, like against Alabama, where he throws for 200 yards, no interceptions, but no rushing yards, you know, and he's just kind of okay.
Right.
Know? So he might be that kind of guy.
The realm of expectations are huge for Matt Corral and really even this quarterback class, because you hear some people say that the best quarterback in this class would be the sixth best from last class. Then you even hear some people saying that they would take Davis Mills over the best quarterback in this class. So
I saw that the other day, and I'm like, what?
That seems bold, right? Still the same. You just never know. We've seen a lot of the quarterbacks that were the first quarterbacks off the board in the NFL drafts, like, just be mediocre, right? Which sometimes, like we mentioned, is okay.
I guess this might be a good one. Maybe he's, at worst case, maybe he's Geno Smith. That would probably be a pretty safe one.
There you go.
At worst.
Especially if given opportunity.
Because Geno had that big draft capital and never really kind of amounted to much. Mm-hmm. Had little flashes where he started for, 7-8 games and gave us a couple fantasy relevant weeks here and there. But I think that's the worst case. But I think he's better than that.
What do you feel the consensus is on Matt Corral, saying our rookie drafts this year?
Yep, quarterback two. I think that's pretty much come around. I think everybody's pretty much got tired of Howell in the baby hands of Pickett. Have kind of dropped him down a little bit. Strong, he's obviously got that huge arm, but the knees and the statue. So I think pretty much it's consensus quarterback two at this point. Some people have Corral as quarterback one, but I still think he's kind of going to fall in those middle year super flex rookie drafts unless you just really need a quarterback. So I think he's probably 104, 106 ish area, and maybe even later. So, people like the wide receivers, but I feel like the wide receiver depth is so good that you can kind of, if you don't get one right away, you can grab another one later in the first round. Mm-hmm. So, and the running backs, even those are kind of Breece and then Walker down a little bit, then Spiller down a little bit, so even the running backs seem to have separated a little bit, whereas mm-hmm. they were all bunched together. So Strong's kind of, I think, in that mid to later part of the first round, but I don't think I'd let him fall past the middle of the first round. So
yep. I like it. Yeah, I'm curious about Carson Strong too, and to see where he goes.
Oh, yeah.
In this draft class, any position, who is your guy, that guy that you're just going to put the flag in, plant a seed, hope it grows? Who's your guy?
It should have. The other guy I talked about covering, Rashad White. So he's my guy, man. He's mine. He's been mine all for a while. Like, I just fell in love watching him, cutting up tapes of him. I love he's elusive enough. He's got good power. He's got the speed to break it free when he goes outside. I love him as a pass catcher. His combine verified what we saw on tape. I mean, the kid's just athletic for days. A little bit older. I think he's 24. He was in JUCO, and then he came to Arizona State. So he's a little bit older. There are a little bit of concerns about him creating on his own. It's not really his game, but he's got good enough vision to run inside, good enough power to go inside, good contact balance. So he's a guy I can see that'll fall. I think he's going to get day two draft capital, late day two, I hope. I think if he falls to fifth or sixth round, I might change my stance a little bit. But mm-hmm. So I hope to see him go late day two or early day three and into a spot where he'll get a chance. And I think he could be a really good NFL back for a while.
What about a player that's maybe getting a little bit of hype buzz going around him that you just can't seem to get into? Somebody you don't want to touch?
You have to put me on the spot, huh? Yeah. Oh, let me think here. Breece Hall? No, I'm just kidding.
Because, that's some high draft capital, so it's understandable. Yeah, it's not that you don't like him at 106, but you don't like him at 101.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't get. I swear, 3 months ago, everybody was like, he's too slow. He doesn't have the breakout speed. He dances around too much. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He's right there with Spiller and Walker. And then he has a good combine, and everybody's like, oh, he's running back one. He's right with Jonathan Taylor. That pisses me off. He is nowhere near on the level of Jonathan Taylor. Like, I'm sorry. He's a good back.
No, I love where you went here, because it's so funny the way this works out. And like you said, he's a good back there. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was thinking about this with Jonathan Taylor and with our hometown DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. Not that we're in Detroit, but we're Detroit Lions fans. And you start thinking, like, man, a couple few months ago, Jonathan Taylor was the super flex 101 or RB1, and Swift was RB2 and Harris was RB3. Move them around a little bit if you want to. I don't care. But the point remains the same. Now, all of a sudden, this rookie that was in a class that we mostly have not liked as much as other classes. And I'm not saying some good stuff won't come out of this class. That's not what I'm saying. But now all of a sudden he's Jonathan Taylor, and people are like, just trade Swift for 101. And you're like, whoa, like, right. Slow down a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. I liked him on tape, but I didn't love him. Like, I actually liked Spiller's tape better. I didn't like Spiller's combine, but it kind of verified what I thought, that he wasn't a faster back. But I do think he's more powerful and better built for a three down. Whereas Breece can still be, he's still going to be a three down back, and he's going to be all right. But I just don't see him up in that top tier. Like, I worry a little bit about, you know, what he does behind the line of scrimmage, a little bit about his vision. It's good, but I worry about how great it is. Just things that I saw this year, I was a little kind of eh. Like, he was still in my top tier, but then all of a sudden he has this combine. And just because he can get up to speed fast, I was totally shocked by it. But I mean, I saw, I don't know how many runs where he got caught from behind at Iowa State, you know? So,
yeah. So I'm curious. You're on the clock. Rookie 101. Right. You can't take a quarterback. Who are you taking? Rookie 101.
Yeah, I don't like you. I think it's still, I think you, yeah, I know. What, Breece Hall still. just because
but just I, to I, have him like all of a sudden right. comp to Jonathan Taylor is right. that's the crazy right. part.
Yeah, because I don't like, I still like Walker a lot. You know, I do like a lot that Walker does. I like a lot that Spiller does. I think Hall is probably the best back in this class, but I don't think he's the best and he's going to be a top, you know, five running back. And I think that's where all of a sudden we're being putting him just because of a nice combine. You know, so I worry a little bit about the overreaction to it. And there might still be, if I'm set at running back, I'd gladly take one of the wide receivers. You know, I like Wilson a lot. I like Burks a lot. I like Jameson Williams a lot, you know, but if I can't take a quarterback, I think just because it's a running back and the position of running back is so much more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably is Hall. Although, you know, I think obviously landing spot's huge. Without knowing landing spot, it's Hall, but I'm curious to see where he goes and what type of scheme he's being used in and things like that. So I know I just said, I think everybody's overreacting, but I think he's still probably the 101. So mm-hmm. other than Willis, so.
Yeah,
but I just worry, like you said, the where he's being put. He's not a top five back. Sorry, I still see it
straight out of the madhouse. I appreciate your time very much. What is a little bit of advice you would give some people throughout this offseason? Maybe just moves you would make, maybe something you would do in your rookie drafts. Some advice that you would give people this time of year, be it Devy, rookie, dynasty related.
Hey, this is a draft where I know we've talked about how bad this class is. And if you can obviously move a couple picks for a 2023, I think I would. But I also think this is a class that will have some decent starters in it. And I am not opposed to taking a 101, you know, and trading it for like, you know, a 107, a 205, and like a 2023 next year. I would do that in a heartbeat. You know, so I'm a little worried about, you know, that and people overreact into how good Willis has looked, into how good Hall has looked. I still think it's a good class, but it's not an amazing class. Not like we've had the last couple years. So, and that, and just, you know, without a lot of people like to do the rookie drafts before, and I'm kind of half, I like doing some before and I like doing some after. It's kind of a fun little exercise. So if you're doing it before, I just urge you to trust what you've seen. You know, like, don't overreact to all this combine stuff. You know, some guys, not going to say Breece Hall, but some guys train really hard for this, and they work hard on accelerating and jumping the gun. And I think the fact we had a lot of uncharacteristically fast times in Indy makes me wonder a little. You know, like, we had a lot of wide receivers run these blazing times, you know, so it makes you think maybe we're off a little bit on times, you know, so like, I hate to say that, but so I when I'm doing my rookie drafts before, I tend to trust the tape a little bit more than, you know, what I saw from the combine. The combine's a tool, you know, it's what you do with it. I think it's 20% of your process, you know, ish, where I think I'm still probably 60 to 70% tape. You know, I still like to go into the analytics and see what they did. And the analytics for Breece are amazing. You know, he had the breakout. He was dominant. He was very dominant at Iowa State. So, I mean, he satisfies that aspect of it. So I just urge you to just trust what you see on eyes and don't let the Twittersphere screw. You know, the Twitter, it's so funny. I mean, like, within seconds of him running that, the Hall running that, what was it, 4.3 something, 4.36, something like that. Everybody's like, oh, he's the one. He's the one. He's it. Forget everything you've ever seen. You know, despite the fact that 2 weeks ago I tweeted that he was RB3 in this class, you know, like, oh, okay. Oh, I'll just forget you said that. you know?
Yeah, without even without even seeing landing spots or
exactly
draft capital.
Yeah. So you see it too much, you know, where people just will take one little piece of information and then overreact, and it is what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. We're very much what have you done for me lately, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of miss the old days a little bit sometimes where it wasn't so overreactive to every little thing, but.
Yeah,
I'm old. I always miss the olden days. Get off my lawn, you freaking
a lot more people in the space too. To
oh yeah,
to have the wave and echo chamber or reaction. We will just say, Dwight, I appreciate you a ton coming on for this Rookie Fever player profile. If I missed anything, or just go over again anywhere they can find you or anything you're doing right now.
Okay, yeah, Twitter FF Peebles Champ. The Daily Draft Podcast. Got a couple weeks left. It's the daily at Daily Draft RPRT. I work at, I don't do much writing anymore, but when I do, it's at the Dynasty Nerds typically. Edit there, and then at Campus to Canton, I do a lot of editing and, you know, work on the website, do a little bit of just everything, rankings, things like that behind the scenes. So that's pretty much it, man. Oh,
follow at Peebles Champ. And oh, what? I'm sorry.
Well, the Debbie Show. I keep forgetting I have the Debbie Show on Thursdays, or it comes out on Fridays. That's on the Draft Bible Podcast. So network. I always forget about that. I'm old.
And he completely forgot about a show.
I know.
He does.
I know. It's been a rough week, man. Leave me alone. Come on, Swag. Be nice, Swags. All right.
I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Never Fever. Be sure to follow at Peoples Champ Never on Twitter. All of his shows. Some amazing stuff coming out, guys. Do it. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.